Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
We see that the church has a chance today to make a difference, a radical difference in this day and age if we'll stand up for God in Christ and live out that truth. Jesus said, I came here to witness to the truth, and we take that truth and live it out, and all of a sudden we see light coming on in the darkness.
The truth is, capitalism is rooted in history and in God's Word. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, Socialism versus Capitalism, with some surprising insight into God's design for the economy and the role we play in it. That's coming up in just a moment on The Winning Walk. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a timely new sermon series from Dr. Young called The Church Awake. In the midst of our decaying world, this series sounds an inspiring call for the church to wake up and be engaged in our culture with clarity and conviction on the issues that matter, standing firmly on truth instead of bowing to the whims of the world. We'll send you this series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request The Church Awake when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Socialism versus Capitalism, Part 2.
Ask that postmodern question, and he answered it by giving Jesus over to be crucified, even though he knew that objectively he was totally innocent of every charge. He said, well, that was way back there in antiquity. No, that's exactly where we are today. We've been looking at the woke mindset. Let me say something as a thesis. I have looked at wokeism as best as I can, and I can tell you the woke philosophy ideology is totally diametrically opposed to biblical truth. You take their phrases and their terminology, and you unpack it as they interpret it, and it all sounds good. Who's not for social justice? They have redefined social justice. And you can take every tenet as we're looking at it line by line, verse by verse, and you see it's the totally opposite of the biblical understanding of that sounds so right, so appropriate in our world today. And one big word that they use is a background and the cause of all of our problems is capitalism. Oh, yes. Capitalism is a source of racism. Capitalism is a source of bigotry. Capitalism is a source of communist language. Remember, the oppressed and those who are the oppressors. And then we say, let's discern and look at socialism / communism. And then let's look at capitalism. How do we understand this? It's a matter of definition. It's a matter of unpacking these. Well, how do you do that? Remember I recommended you Mama Bear Apologetics, remember? I hope you've ordered that. I hope you begin to read it. It is so on target. It's amazing. And in that book, I had another understanding of discernment. Remember our big word? If you don't have discernment, you're in trouble. Discernment is knowing what is real and what is phony, knowing what is true and knowing what is false. And by the way, it's not hard to know what is true. Somebody said, well, Pastor, can you define truth? Yes, I can. Let me give you a definition. Won't be too hard for anybody. If you say what is that it is, and you say what is not that it is not, that's truth. And if you say what is that it is not, and what is not that it is, that's a lie. Truth explained with one syllable words. Not going too fast for anybody, am I? And so we come and try to unpack truth, and a great methodology is what the phrase talks about, chew and spit. Oh, chew and spit, another way to discern something. Eating a steak. Texas is known for all in steak, right? All in beef. That's how we're known all around the world, all in beef. But you go to somebody's house and you eat a steak, and once in a while you run into gristle. Now you can chew it till tomorrow and it'll still be. What do we do? What do we talk in all of our highfalutin Texas etiquette? What do we do when we're chewing a steak and we're under gristle? If we are very cultured, we take our napkin, which should have been in your lap, and we very carefully take that gristle and spit it in the napkin and eat the rest of the steak. I'm not going too fast for anybody, am I? That's discernment. We take situations where we're looking for truth to live and act on it, and we run into gristle, and we chew that which is good, and we spit that which is not good. So I want to practice that methodology today, not doing any spitting in actuality, in reality, but let's just take the word socialism and chew on it a little bit. Now, I always have to give this disclaimer. We're not going to cover every aspect of socialism, and we're going to leave out some nuances of it. It's not good. You get that. Somebody, well, you didn't. I'm just going to give you the basic ABC stuff, okay? We'll cover everything about socialism. But what is socialism basically? Socialism basically is the state owns our property. That's socialism. State owns our property. Socialism. And the undergirding philosophy is communism. What is communism? From each according to his ability, to each according to his need. Dialectic materialism. It sounds great. It's a utopian concept. And therefore, we know that even in life, pure communism has never been successful. And in life, pure socialism over a period of time has never been successful. I'll debate anybody on this at another occasion. So we see some illustrations in history. You remember after the Russian Revolution, they established the USSR. That stands for the Union of Soviet Socialistic Republics. They got a lot of good words in there, undercovering the word socialism. So they established a socialistic republic in Russia, and we know the catastrophic end of that. You say, well, there have been examples when that's worked. Well, let's go to Sweden. Oh, there's a wonderful country. Read the history of Sweden, ladies and gentlemen. In the 1980s, Sweden was a prosperous country, low taxes, not many people in government, minimum government amount. There was freedom. You could go there and start a business or an enterprise or a career, and you would be successful. It was a very successful country until 1980. Somebody said, well, we need to spread this out equally among everybody. And all of a sudden, they had a bigger government. All of a sudden, all these regulations came into being. And then all of a sudden, you see a flattening out of the economy, and by 1990s, Sweden was in big trouble, and now they have slowly begun to move back into a free market, and the country has been changed. That is current history. Let's go to Venezuela. Well, there's a good example. Venezuela was one of the most prosperous countries in all of South Carolina. South Carolina, South America, same thing. All countries there. What happened to Venezuela? And you got Hugo Chavez ran for to be the leader and said, oh, we need to take all the wealth of Venezuela and just flatten it out, scatter it among all the people. And that's exactly what he did. And at first, the head of the Labor Party in Great Britain said, boy, look what Hugo Chavez is doing. That's an example for everybody. What socialism would do, you take for the rich, you get. Man, that's a beautiful example. And all the Hollywood elites who know so much about economy, they said, I want to go to Venezuela. And at first, it seemed to be prosperous. It seemed to be working. But just like Margaret Thatcher said, socialism is a wonderful thing until you run out of somebody else's money. And the big word of socialism, it's all free. You see what I'm saying? It's free. It's free. It's free. But, you know, a rat looks at cheese in a trap, and the rat says, that cheese looks free to me. Just go get it. That's what happens to socialistic thinking. We go get something that's free, and ladies and gentlemen, there's not a thing on this earth that is free except the grace of God. So here we have all these illustrations of failure. You can go back, for example, to Israel. When they first became a nation in 1948, they set up little communities that were purely communistic. Everybody was supposed to work. They scattered them all over Israel. Each one had a specific trade, something they made or manufactured or grew. What happened to that? Ask those who tried that experiment in Israel in the beginning days. And they say exactly, it's a paradise for parasites. A paradise for parasites. Because all of a sudden somebody said, you know, I get the same work that I don't have to do anything. Can you beat that? And you see what happens in the wokeism that is sponsoring socialism today. Here's what they believe. You can help the poor by destroying the rich. You can strengthen the weak by weakening the strong. You can bring about prosperity by discouraging thrift. You can lift the wage earner by pulling the taxpayer down. You can further have brotherhood by inviting class hatred. You can build character and courage by taking away a person's initiative. You can help people permanently by doing for them what they can do for themselves. That is woke socialism spelled out for us to see. Now, in case you are still lost and confused about socialism, what it is, let me say again, in simple terms, socialism is you have two cows, C-O-W-S, and the government takes over those two cows, and the government decides how much milk you get. That is a simple explanation of socialism today and forever. And you see how it creeps in on us? More and more federal control of everything and everybody, that is socialism. So we're chewing on socialism, and I'd say you spit the whole thing out. Now, let's not be delicate. Let's chew on capitalism. What is capitalism? Capitalism is property is owned by the individual. How different? Instead of property owned by the state, it's property owned by the individual. In order to be scholarly, I want to give you a really scholarly definition of capitalism because there's a zillion definitions out there. There's been a zillion books and studies done on what it means. And evidently, those in power in the woke world, they say capitalism is a problem. Let's see what capitalism is. Let's look at the $10 definition of it. Capitalism is an economic system wherein privately owned, relatively well-organized, and stable forms pursue complex commercial activities with a relatively free, unregulated market, taking a systematic long-term approach to investing and reinvesting wealth directly or indirectly, in productive activities involving a hired workforce and guided by anticipation of actual returns. That's a $10 definition of capitalism. But let me explain it where all of us can understand it. You own two cows, you sell one cow and buy a bull. That's capitalism. That's capitalism. So we look at the history of capitalism. Where did it come from? Did it just appear, this form of economic government? No, you can find shadows of it all the way back to Genesis. Have dominion, God said. Be fruitful and multiply. You are stewards over creation. That's the beginning idea. You go all the way through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all this property is cattle. They begin to do business. Move the Ten Commandments. What's the eighth commandment? Thou shalt not steal. Somebody had to own something and somebody else to take it from. There you see the beginning of capitalism, even back there. And the 10th commandment says, you shall not covet. You're coveting what somebody else has under their control. The beginning of capitalism, all the way through the Old Testament. You come to the New Testament, you come to the parable of Jesus, and there are many of them. Now, I know some people say, well, the New Testament teaches socialism. That's a poor interpretation of that passage in Acts, and I can deal with it. And one other little verse, if you read it by itself without reading the next verse, you're like, oh, it seems that is totally biblically ignorant. The Bible, the New Testament, does not teach socialism. In fact, you can find the parable of Jesus there in Matthew 25, the parable of the pounds. Remember, the guy was going to leave, and he left three people in charge of his money while he was gone. And so he says, you know, here somebody has five, somebody gives two, somebody has one. And by the way, you see what happens there in that parable. It is very, very interesting. What did Jesus say? By the way, this parable was the basis of the Nobel Prize given for economics in 1990. Long range, short range, use what you got. And Jesus says, these gifts were given out proportionally as to the capacity to those who receive the gifts. That's true of spiritual gifts, it's true of economic gifts. And look what he said about the one guy who didn't use the gift that he had. It's indeed very, very interesting. He says, you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him, the money from him, give it to the one who has 10. And this is it. He says, for to everyone who has more shall be given more. You have some gift, some ability, not just the money, an area of life, you use that, it'll be multiplied. It'll be multiplied. Then he says, he will have an abundance, but from the one who does not have, even that which he does have shall be taken away from him. You don't use your talent for singing, it'll be taken away. You don't use your talent for serving, it'll be taken away. If you don't use what we got according to the ability that we have, when we use it, we get more of it. And look at the punishment for this. It says, throw out the bums, throw out the worthless money managers in the outer darkness, in the place there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Ladies and gentlemen, the New Testament teaches basic understanding of capitalism. Well, it even appears later in history. When the Roman Empire fell, what happened? Saint Benedict established Benedict entities all over Europe, monasteries, and they grew into towns and cities. That is where capitalism as we know it was based. That's the foundation in a Christian context. You can't argue with history. In that context, all of a sudden they had banking. All of a sudden they had gold and silver coins in a way they'd never seen before. All of a sudden they had the lending of money. All of a sudden they had all the basic understanding of how we do business in America today and in the world today under the auspices of capitalism. It came from those monasteries. Isn't that interesting? And then we go into the Enlightenment, we go in the Reformation, and it continued. In fact, the longest running franchise in business in the world comes from the Benedictine monastery and what they produce, and no Baptist would know what that is. They produce today the best champagne the world has to offer. The longest running franchise in the world. Capitalism. Two cows, sell one, buy a bull. That's the genius today. Well, I don't know about that. Let me tell you something. When something happens in Indonesia and they need funds, do they go to a communist country, a socialist country? No. They don't send funds. They go to America. We give away to nonprofits every year over $400 billion in the United States of America. You can't find anybody close to that in the planet. So, I believe, you believe, that capitalism gives the ability to have a surplus and to use it. Now, is capitalism perfect? No. Does evil take place through capitalism? Yes. When Nancy Pelosi makes over $30 million last year on the stock market, don't tell me she's that smart. That's not hard. If you know what legislation is going to be passed, you know, well, this is going to help this company. You invest. If it's going to fall, you know, and you have that kind of power. That is evil in capitalism. So there is areas capitalism can be corrupt. And when somebody is successful in business or in life, if you don't share it going down, you wipe out the middle class. So capitalism has corrupt. So we chew on capitalism and we spit all the bums out who exploit it, right? Let's chew on the church. Did you know most of what goes by church in America today, I would not say is not church. They've become three-fourths totally woke in every moral question you deal with. And even now when the bottom is falling out of America, obviously they're still silent and exegeting the book of Leviticus. This is what's the problem with the church. Now we wonder, what in the world do we do? First of all, we stay tied to the truth of God's eternal, infallible, inerrant word. Number one. You cut loose, your opinion is as good as my opinion. Your idea is as good as mine. If we chew there on the church, we see that the church has a chance today to make a difference, a radical difference in this day and age if we'll stand up for God in Christ and live out that truth. Jesus said, I came here to witness to the truth, and we take that truth and live it out, and all of a sudden we see light coming on in the darkness.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
For far too long, the church has been asleep. It's time we wake up. While we've been silent, a godless culture has begun dismantling our country and our world. The foundations of the body of Christ have been eroded. We're being divided by gender, race, and social class. Our families are under attack, and our children are being corrupted and confused. It's time for God's family to stand up against this woke culture.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been an encouragement to you, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a brand new series by Dr. Young called The Church Awake. We can all agree the world is broken, and in this timely new series, Dr. Young equips you to be the salt and light Jesus calls you to be by engaging our decaying culture on some of today's most controversial issues. This series is our thanks for your gift to support and keep this program going strong. So call now to request The Church Awake when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow and hear Dr. Young share biblical insight for the American church as our freedoms begin to be eroded away.